We used to have a guy that used to come to this church. In fact, he planted this church. His name was David Woodfield. And his catchphrase, are you glad you're here? Are you glad you're here today? Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
I'm glad you're here today, otherwise I'd be speaking to myself. It's always good to speak to yourself though, isn't it? Do you speak to yourself? Anybody else just talk to themselves, or it just me? If you're visiting today, or you've not been with us for very long, very welcome, and we pray that God will really bless you on your journey with us. I'm still carrying the theme of riding the next wave, and we'll do it for a bit, and we're following on from the consecration, the year of consecration. We've learnt a lot, we've heard a lot. This is a year that we must obey what God says. It's really important because God gives us time to understand what he's saying, gives us time to think about it, but there's always an action that he expects from us. And I believe this year, as we ride this next wave, we are going to see some wonderful things happen. Yeah, thank you. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, he's going to be a prophet, this child. I believe we're going to see some beautiful things happen. I believe as we start to root ourselves in God and his word, take up the initiative that Pastor Tim has done to read the word of God, to allow the dove to come and land on us and live in us, both by the word and the spirit, we are going to see some precious things happen. I also believe that this is a year, and Brian has said this, that we are going in uncharted territory. We don't have a map. Where's my Bible? Can you pass me my Bible? What we have is the Word of God. That's what we have to rely on and use. And we have the Holy Spirit who is living in our lives. The Holy Spirit who is in our sails, who's going to direct us and guide us. Do you believe that? And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need the Word of God as we've never had before. We need to study it. We need to know it. We need to absorb it. We need to live it. And every opportunity you have, invite the dove to come. Invite the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I look at this and I see the dove coming off the poster and just landing. And we need that. We need a personal revival. We need the Holy Spirit to change us and to challenge us from within so that we can be like him. And this is a year where he will challenge us. Say to yourself, talk to yourself and say, Pastor Robin's talking to me. You can say it out loud. This is the year for you and I. You see, if we are going to continue to be pioneers, if we're going to continue to be pioneers and not settlers, we need the dove and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. This is what I've said through last year. We are called to be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Can you say that?
Spirit-filled.
We're called to be radical.
Radical.
We're called to be world changers. We're called to be bold. Unafraid. And uncompromising. So we're going into uncharted territory. If you want to believe what Brian has brought, that we've not been this way before, and what I brought on the New Year's Eve about us, the spoken word is going to impact people's lives this year as never before. If you want to believe that, we are going to be pioneers and we're going to see this happen. There's a heavenly plan that's going to happen and unfold before our eyes. The last two times I spoke on this, I said, think spiritually. Do you remember? Think spiritually. Take off the mind of this world. Put on the mind of Christ. Take off the things of this world and put on the mind of Christ. We're going to think spiritually, but we're also going to stay biblical. Staying biblical is where we submit our lives to God with everything that we do, with everything we have, and whatever the word of God says, we do it. Even if we don't understand, even if we don't want to, We have to make a choice to submit our lives to what the Word of God says and stay biblical, because there are so many voices out there. The world is constantly at us. Be like us. You don't need to be different. You can be like us and it will be okay. I want to emphasize again how important it is for us to think spiritually and stay biblical. The last time I spoke, we talked about the external challenges that churches faced and then some internal challenges. I'm going to remind us of that very briefly. But as soon as Jesus started to build his church, the enemy tries to steal and to rob. That's what he does. And the last time we talked about the disciples, they had been preaching about Jesus. They'd been told to be quiet. The church is growing at a phenomenal rate. And the Jewish leaders arrest them and they bring them back to wherever they met, which is probably the outer court. And they say to them, why have you been talking when we've told you not to about this man Jesus? We commanded you to be quiet. And then they're taken, and let's read what happens to them in Acts 5, 41 to 42. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Who's the name? For Jesus. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching. And what? So they are told, they are commanded by the religious leaders, stop talking about the name. Do not do this anymore. And then they beat them. This is probably the first time they've experienced personal persecution like this. They were beaten. They weren't just like a tap on the shoulder. Don't be a naughty boy. Don't be a naughty girl. They were beaten. And it says they came away rejoicing. Did they rejoice because they were beaten? No. None of us want that. They rejoice in the fact that they could identify with the name of Jesus, their Lord, their Lord and Saviour. And rather than run away and get the next bus out of town, they go back to the temple and they meet in houses and they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's what I want us to do this year. More than that, I believe that's what God wants us to do. We meet together in the temple and we go from house to house, place to place, proclaiming the name of Jesus. As we proclaim the name of Jesus, it's going to affect people's lives as never before this year. Do you believe that? You see, these disciples were determined not to be intimidated because they answered to a higher authority. And I want to say to you and I, we must be determined not to be intimidated by anybody because we answer to a higher authority. You and I are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his mouthpiece. We are his hands. We are his feet. And we're going to go and we're going to take the word of God and we're going to see the mighty miracles happen. And one of the most greatest miracles we're going to see is hardened hearts are going to become soft and they're going to come into the kingdom. And we're going to talk about our blended family in a little while. We must be determined on our spirit-led journey to speak the name of Jesus. Then we find that they have this external channel, that challenge, then they have an internal challenge. And the internal challenge is the church is growing. There's the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish people, and the Hellenistic Jewish people, which are the people that have come from all over the world. And they come from a slightly different culture because they've lived in that culture, born into that culture. And do you notice in this room how many different cultures we have? Have a good look. Have a look around at some of the people. We have got so many different cultures here. And you know what happens when you have loads of different cultures? You have problems. You have people poor. You have people walk out the building like we just have now. God bless you. We have problems in church. Did you know that? And there's a problem. The problem is that people don't feel they've been looked after properly in church. So the apostles come together and they pray. I presume they pray. I believe they do because they have a lifestyle of prayer. And as they pray, They decide that they're going to choose seven men. Can you say seven men? Full of good report and full of the Holy Spirit. So that they can serve. Hello? So that they can serve the body, the growing body of believers, so that the leaders can spend time praying, which is always good, isn't it? You want your leaders to pray, don't you? And preach the word of God. It's not because they didn't want to serve, but they have a ministry that they needed to do. So we have these seven men that they choose, of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit. We need people here of good reputation and the Holy Spirit. We need both. Now, there'll be all kinds of people that will come into church, people that will get saved, that will be on a learning curve. There'll be a work in progress, as we all are. But God wants this place to be a place of people with good reputation. What we like inside is what we like outside. On a Monday morning is like we are on a Sunday. And full of the Holy Spirit, full of the dove, is what we need. We talked about the four essentials that Jesus was building his church with. Can you remember those? Go on then, Andrew. Did you say yes? What were they? Oh, is that okay? You're good, you are. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. And we're going to continue to do that. But right now there is a need in this church. There is a need where we need people to serve. The church is growing. Loads of people are not here today. If everybody was, we haven't got enough seats. We need people to serve here. We need people to serve in Sunday school. We need people to serve in the youth. We need people to serve on the welcome team. We need people to serve in the car park, on refreshments, cleaning, on the AV, which is the words and the songs you see, the sound, the broadcast, the cameras. And very soon we're going to need more life group leaders, more evangelists, more people in prayer teams. As the church grows, it is time to pick up the towel of servanthood. Can you say that? It is time to pick up the towel of servanthood. Now, there are some people that serve in lots of ministries and they do too much. Okay, because they're willing to do anything. But there are some that don't. And at the end, the pastors are going to be waiting for you. And there is a form here you can fill. And you can say, this is how I can serve the church. God has gifted every one of us to serve in some way. People say, well, it's a matter of calling. I have to be called to do refreshments. No, you don't. You can serve. Well, I don't feel like working with children. Children need teaching. They need. By the time they're seven, they'll have made some choices in their life. What we invest in our children. So put your hand on your heart. Say to yourself, Pastor Robin's speaking to me now. And then I'm going to pray and you can join in with this prayer. Holy Spirit, show me which ministry I can get involved in today. Holy Spirit, fill me, teach me, empower me and give me wisdom in this ministry. Help me to recognise what you're saying to me today. You see, I'm not asking, and we're not asking for you to be a professional cameraman. We're just asking for servanthood, a servant heart. It's a matter not of professionalism, it's a matter of obedience. See, people say, well, we have to minister in our strengths. No. I'm going to ask you to do something different. I'm going to ask you to think in a different way. Why not minister in your weakness and allow God to be seen in what you do? You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to have an amazing call upon your life. Just need you to serve. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this, what's that word? All surpassing power is from God and not from us. How does God want us to minister? Through his all surpassing power. In other words, that's God working in me. That's the Holy Spirit empowering me and using me and leading me and guiding me in my weakness so that he will be seen that he is strong. We have in us the all-surpassing power of God. We are jars of clay. We are cracked pots, not crackpots. Although some of us might be. Me and Kate are, aren't we, Kate? We're definitely crackpots. Part of 2026 is this. Help your pastor year. Pastors need you. Listen, we're facing some big challenges. We're praying and seeking God for a number of things. We need your help this year. This church needs you. This community needs you. We need you to step into ministry. Find out what's right and do what's right. This Oasis family, it's a blended family. It's a strange group of bunch of people. Definitely strange for us to pastor, isn't it, Pastor Emmanuel? We've had some strange conversations. We are a unique, blended family that God has called us together. Now, I want you to do it again. I want you to look around at the people in the room. Don't be embarrassed. Just, you can stand up and have a look around at them. You see this strange group of people. I'm going to tell you what they are to you today. Are you ready? We've had one walk out on me already. These people in this room and those that aren't here today are your grace growers. They're going to help you grow in grace in God. Do you know what that means? Is they're going to do some things you don't like. They're going to behave in ways you don't like. They're going to say some things in ways you don't want to hear. But you're going to learn to grow in grace with our blended family. Amen? You ready for that?
Yes.
Are you willing for that?
Yes.
So I want to tell you there are... How many men were called by the apostles?
Seven.
How many men do you hear of after this chapter when they're called? Of the seven? Two. Five are never heard of again. They are called the unknown, willing servants of God. They don't want the limelight. They don't need to have an upfront ministry. They just carry on serving God faithfully. There are only two men, Stephen, who dies, and Philip. They are the faithfuls. Anybody watch Traitors? They are the faithfuls. We are the faithfuls. I want two volunteers that would never normally come up here to be brave to help me with an illustration. If it's one of you that came into membership today, you can. I'll try not to embarrass anybody. And it's an illustration purpose only. So who's going to be two of my brave people? Come on then. Great. We got two. You can come up as well if you want. I won't use you as illustration, but you can be part of that. Okay. So, Lord, give me a word for these men. Right now. This is an illustration, guys. Illustration. It's not a prophetic word over your life. Okay? But it might be. Okay. So these guys have responded to a call in a message that they believe God wants to talk to them. Something's happening in their life and they're feeling God is saying something to me, but I want to know what it is. And so the minister, he goes, right, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Trust. Now, I'm not doing, this isn't an illustration that will be happening publicly for everybody to know, but we're having a ministry time. And I've got a word from God, and this is the word of God. In my illustration, trust. Trust, God's called you for such a time as this. He's called you to declare the word of God. He's called you to speak the word of God as you've never done before, to stand on the promises of God. And as you speak, it will be like a sword and it will kill the enemy, but it will also bring people into the kingdom. Every word you go will hit them right in the mark in their heart. And that's what God's called you to do. And this year, he wants you to step into it. Okay, so would you step just there? That's a nice word. Who wants a word like that? Okay. So now, these two guys are thinking, what is he going to say over me? I've just heard that Trust is going to be a frontline guy who's going to evangelize, and as he speaks the word of God, people are going to get saved. What's he going to say to me? And so I take these two guys together. I say, guys, your ministry is going to be different, Paul, Josh. It's not going to be an upfront ministry like Trust. It's going to be different. In fact, I don't want you to tell anybody in this congregation what it's going to be. But I need you to do it. It's just as important as this ministry. And what you're going to do is every day you're going to pray for Trust. You're going to intercede for him. So when he goes out to talk about people, they'll get saved. That's my call upon your life. I want you to be faithful to it. You don't need to tell everybody. People in church aren't going to know. But you know, and I know. And I want you to walk in that ministry. You see the difference of the two calls. Some people have a front call line ministry. But you know, for him to do his front line ministry, he needs these guys praying for him. He needs them to be praying and interceding, to pray God's protection upon him. This is why it's so important that we have a prayer team here and we pray. Does that make sense, guys? It's an illustration. Okay. Thank you. Take your seats. Thank you, guys. Would you be willing to become one of the willing unknowns? One of the willing unknowns. Nobody sees what you do, apart from God. We need some willing unknowns today. Does God want this church to grow? Yes. Absolutely. He's promised I will build my church. But as the family grows, we must make sure that this growth does not threaten our purpose, priorities, vision and values, because we can be so easily distracted with people's needs. People are important. People's needs are important. But the pastors cannot do everything. And I'm getting old. You may laugh. I feel it at the moment. We need to be a proper functioning church that Jesus is building that stays committed to our four essentials: teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So the world wants to get hold of your mindset and squeeze your head and try and direct your thinking in this world. Do you know the enemy hates everything that this church loves? He hates it with a vengeance. He hates it when we baptise people. He hates it when people put their hands up and give their life to Jesus. He hates all those kind of things that we love. And he loves the things that we hate. That's our enemy. Don't try and think he wants to compromise. He doesn't. He only has one game plan. Do you know what his game plan is? To destroy and tear down whatever he can. He will stop at nothing to distract and disrupt the church. In his mindset, in his game plan, the end justifies the means. Have you ever heard somebody say that? The end justifies the means. That's his game plan. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do it. And in his rule book that he plays, anything goes. And part of that anything goes, he wants to attack the church externally, but also internally. And part of the way he makes the church impotent is that the people don't move into their ministries and to serve. And only a few do that. And he tries to tire out the leaders and tries to tire out people. And then the good, willing people that are willing to do every ministry that comes up. Could you help? Yeah, I'll be there. Could you help? I'll be there. In this blended family, we need people that would be part of this and to serve. But we've got to be careful now. In this year, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Let's read this together. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is a very important scripture for us to understand. The enemy does not like us. Now, I don't care he doesn't like me. I don't mind if people don't like me. I'm not really fussed. But I've got to be vigilant and I've got to be careful. And I've got to make sure that I take off the mindset of this world and put on the mind of Christ. Because otherwise, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. I'm going to flatten my face. And we've got to be careful and understand this. We are engaged in the battle of our minds. We must daily put on the mind of Christ. The mind involves the way we think and how we react in life. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail it. He's going to build his kind of church, not the kind of church that we want. He's going to build his church because he's the boss and he makes those decisions. So how this year do we defend ourselves against the enemy's schemes? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, what do we do? Captive. Every thought, how many thoughts? Every. And make it obedient to Christ. So when we have a thought that is not godly and not right, where the world is trying to press us in to think like this and say it's okay, we go, no, I've got the mind of Christ. It is not okay. And I take captive in the all-surpassing power of God against that thought. And I command it to be obedient to Jesus Christ. This is why I say speak to yourself. And if something happens, it might be strange. You might be in the middle of the street. You might be walking down the road. Probably won't do this, but you take off the old one, put on the new. But you can certainly pray, which is a tool that every one of us has. You might want to pray like this. This is a prayer that I pray, okay? Lord, I need you right now. Take charge of this. I need your thoughts. I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. I need truth from the word of God. I need your very words. Protect me from fear. Hold me near, give me resilient courage, get me through this storm, God. That's a good prayer to pray. Pray the prayer, bring every thought into captivity. You can do this 24/7, wherever you are. You may, if you're at home, be under attack, do this and pray the mind of Christ. Probably not a good idea if you're on a bus or at work in a meeting. And you're thinking pretty bad thoughts about somebody, or lustful thoughts, or whatever that might be, you can pray and put on the mind of Christ. And this year, we need to do it. And as we do, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to triumphantly help us overcome. Who wants to be triumphant this year? Who wants to be an overcomer? Let's put these things into practice. By focusing on the word of God, we set our minds on God's heavenly plan. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to fulfill the heavenly plan. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to be 5 minutes, I promise. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Whose power? Not in our own strength. Because we'll fail, but in his power. For life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Why didn't you write that scripture down and meditate on that? His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. God doesn't say, well, you've given your life to me now. You just get onto it and I'll meet you in heaven. God gives us the power today to live a godly life. And you might think, I can't do it on my own. I've failed in the past. Well, if you've failed in the past, try doing differently this year. Take some of these scriptures, believe them, Allow the all-surpassing power to work through crackpots in our weakness and do that. Believe it. We have to not just read it. We have to not just study it, which is really important. We have to live it. Can you say we have to live it? This guy, Eugene Peterson, said this. He's the guy that wrote The Message. It's important for us to understand that just as a hospital collects sick people under one roof and labels them as sick, the church collects sinners. Did you know that you're sitting next to a sinner? The church collects them. We collect sinners. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. The difference is, if we found Jesus or Jesus found us, we're a sinner saved by grace. He goes on to say, many people outside the hospital are as sick as the ones inside, but their illness is either undiagnosed or disguised. How many people do you know that they have an illness? They find out about it and then go to hospital. Sometimes it's too late, isn't it? There are people outside that have got cancer, that are sick, that aren't in hospital because they don't even know they are. There are people in the world that are sinners that don't even know they're sinners. This church is labelled, I believe, by God, a place for sinners to come, a place for sinners to meet, a place for sinners to have fellowship, a place for sinners to be saved by grace. As people come in, and there are going to be some really interesting characters that will come in this year, you mark my words. Because I've called them in. And I won't tell you the type of people I've called in. But I've prayed from this stage. I've raised my hand and I've called them in through the doors. And they're going to make our blended family grace growers. And they're going to come in with all kinds of challenges and problems and all kinds of theology and all kinds of thinking of what Christianity is and who Jesus is. And you may be new to the Christian faith and you may be thinking, gosh, I've got so much to learn. What we're committing to here, every one of the pastors, everyone that preaches from this pulpit, is that we're going to bring the truth and the word of God in a gracious way, not a judgmental way, because we are not here to judge anybody. I can't judge. I've got to take the plank out of my own eye first before I try and take the thorn out of your eye, and you've got to do the same. But we're going to use the word of God, and we're going to be rooted in the word of God. And we're going to choose to obey the word of God, regardless of what we think. I said to you at one point, I've got 2 minutes. I said to you at one point, people come and talk to us and ask us what we think. They come for counsel or guidance, and we're happy to do that. But it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what this says. And we've got to encourage people and teach people the truth. And we're going to preach the truth. And only the truth will set people free. This year, the people that are on this stage, I'm telling you now, you do not hold back from holding the truth. You bring the truth and we share the truth. But we have to live it. I want to tell you, every challenge that we face, internally or externally, the solution's here. It's an opportunity. A challenge becomes an opportunity to apply the biblical answer to our life. And only that will set us free. It's a bit like if I've got a cut, I need to put some cream on my hands. If I don't put the cream on my hands, the cut doesn't heal. Applying the word of God will bring the healing that we need. Worship team, can you be ready? The way we live our life is out of step with the world system. We are not aloof from the world. We are part of the world, but we're not in the world. Does that make sense? So this amazing evangelist, Chapman, 18th century, 19th century, said these words. It's not in the ship. It's not the ship in the water that causes the ship to sink. It's the water in the ship. That's good, isn't it? I wish I'd have written that. It's not the ship in the water that causes the ship to sink. It's the water that gets in the ship. It's not the Christian in the world that causes the Christian to fail and fall. It's the world in the Christian that causes the Christian to fall and fail. We need to walk out of step with the world. We are not settlers, we are. The next wave is where God has called us to be spirit-filled, say that. Radical. World-changing. Bold. Unafraid. And uncompromising. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you willing?
Yes.
It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. When people walk through this door, you love them. Help them. And people in the church that are struggling with some things, help them. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. Love them. Pray for them. And be one of those people that sit in the background and pray to see what happens. Amen?